Let me thank you for coming to this workshop on short-term missions to Africa. My name is Stanley Mokolwe, and I lead the Navigator work in Africa, in Kenya, but also the Church Discipleship work for Africa. I went to school at Oklahoma State back in 85 through to 91, and got myself a master's in veterinary parasitology, and later on a PhD in the same field. I work with ticks. I love ticks. I think they're beautiful. I dissected 10,000 ticks and just love working with them. I'm now back in Kenya, working full-time with the Navigators, leading a team that does work in Kenya and also part of a team that leads work in Africa. Let's just pray before we begin on this workshop. Father, we thank you for the privilege of ministering your word and exposing these dear ones to opportunities in Africa where they could come as short-term missionaries and help us advance the kingdom. I ask for clarity of speech as I minister your word, and that you would draw us close to you and enable us to see the darkness that you've assigned us for the purpose of bringing the gospel to Africa. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Some men will be handing over some handouts to you. The handouts have some blanks in them that will make it easy for you to take notes. Short-term missions to Africa. Many of you see Africa as a dark continent. The world portrays it as a very dark continent, full of poverty, full of problems. And in part, that is true. But the darkness in Africa was not meant to stay forever. When the Lord was asked the question by the disciples of John the Baptist, "Are you the Christ, or should we expect another?" He said, "Go tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk. When it came to the poor," he said, "the gospel is preached to the poor." Africa has vast wealth, and yet people are poor. But the solution to that problem is not more riches necessarily, it's the riches of the kingdom. I'm going to give you a few facts about Africa. It's a continent and not a country. We have 53 countries, including the islands, and 11.6 million square miles, that's our area, compared to 3.6 million in the U.S., so about four times the size of the U.S. The population statistics for Africa, they vary from 850 million to 900 million, so depending on the source that you go to. So it's a big continent with a big population, and a population growth for about 2.4%. The life expectancy in Africa is 49. I'll be turning 49 in September. Does that mean there are no old men in Africa? No. My grandpa died at age 99. Grandmother, age 90. My father is 77 in good health. My mother is 76. What does this mean, though? It means that infant mortality is very high. It means that AIDS is killing people at a young age. So that skews the statistics. Well, what that really means is that we need to get there with the gospel to the young people while they still have life. Because age 49 is not old, but people are dying at age 49. The number of languages in Africa is 1,000 languages. Now, I'll talk a bit about languages later, because it's good to have a good perspective when you talk about languages and tribes. Let's talk a bit about Kenya. Let me just go back a little to the map. Kenya is located on the east coast of Africa. The equator goes right through Kenya. Africa is, I believe, the only continent that has the equator and the Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn going through the same continent. So we have a great big variety of climatical zones in Africa. So Kenya is right here on the equator, and we live and minister in Nairobi. So some facts about Kenya. Population, 32 million. The literacy level in Kenya is 65%, and the life expectancy, like the rest of Africa, is about 49. The big religions would be Protestantism, you know, Christianity, Protestants about 45%, Catholics 33%, Islam, it's 10%, but growing. Now, it depends on who takes these statistics. If a Muslim took them, he'll probably present a bigger figure for Islam. But it's growing, it's very visible. And then 10% indigenous religions and 2% others. The others would include Hindus, would include people from the other Asian religions, Baha'i, that kind of thing. But indigenous religions would be animists and people who worship their ancestors. In countries like Madagascar, which is a great big island, there's a lot of ancestor worship, and people do need to be delivered from that. Our calling as navigators, we all know it, to advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of laborers living and discipling among the lost. And in the Africa context, we want to advance this kingdom of gospel of Jesus and his kingdom into the nations of Africa. And when I talk about nations of Africa, I'm talking about both the countries and the people groups. 53 countries, but 1,000 people groups. That's a mammoth task. And our approach in the ministry in Kenya is twofold. We want to raise spiritual generations of laborers. Spiritual generations of laborers. In your handout, we are on page 2 right now. At the top of page 2, it says our approach to raise spiritual generations of laborers. But secondly, also, we want to reach out to families. Many countries think that if you change the political leadership, you change everything. Well, political leadership may bring some relief to a country that is in trouble, or may bring trouble to a country that is stable. But to really change people, you've got to change the hearts of people. You've got to change the minds of people. And when we minister through families, through our family discipleship seminars and workshops, we are aiming at raising a new generation of Africans whose hearts are sold to Christ, whose roots are dug deep into Christ. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that later. Now, let me just mention that for you to get the most of this workshop, let me recommend that you also attend Reverend Mayon's workshop tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And if you do that, you will get to know how to get ready for the mission trip, what to bring along with you, how to minister, pitfalls to avoid, how to develop lasting relationships, how to get invited again, and you'll get to hear testimonies of those who have been to Africa, and I will be giving you, exposing to you opportunities for ministry in Africa. The opportunities I'm going to talk about this morning are along five different lines. First, with families across Africa, I will expose opportunities in churches to you, theological colleges, the business community, high schools, and universities. So we'll be talking about when you come there, you'll have a chance to minister in any one or more than one of those areas. Now, some motivating verses for me. Isaiah 49 and verse 6 has been very motivating. When the Lord is speaking to the Lord, God is speaking, says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. He says, I will make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach the ends of the world. It has always been God's aim for his salvation to reach the ends of the world. There are times we preach this gospel and people say to us, that's Western religion. We say, no, it isn't. Christianity did not originate in the West, did it? It's Middle East, isn't it? But even though it came from there, God's aim has always been for his salvation to reach the ends of the earth. And so when God is sending his Son, that's his goal. And when the Son comes in, he says to us in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He acknowledges that as the Father wanted him to be the light of the world and to bring his light to the end of the earth, he acknowledges that. And he says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For the darkness in Africa to be dispelled, we need people who follow Christ so they can have the light of life. He goes on to say in John 9:5, while I'm in the world, the light of the world, as if to suggest that when he leaves, someone else might carry on this task. While I'm in the world, Christ says, I am the world. And he says in John 12:36, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you might become sons of light. So Christ, the light of the world, wants us to become sons of light. And then in Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. And he says to us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Now there's a time that Christ was asked the question, what must we do to do the works of God? Remember that question? His answer was simple. The question was asked in the plural, what must we do to do the works of God? His answer was, the work singular of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. There are many good works we can do, but the work of God is to believe in Christ. So as we talk about missions in Africa, when you go out there and lead people to Christ and have people believe in Christ, you are in fact doing the works of God. When he says, let your light shine, it means allow it. That's something we do. Allow your light to shine. Create opportunities. Give it time. Spend money. Do whatever it takes to allow it to shine so that men may see your good work and give to glory to your Father in heaven. These verses motivate me. It's as if God has assigned each one of us a darkness with which he wants us to bring the light of Christ. When I went to school at Oklahoma State, after finishing my doctorate, I had a job offer with the Navigators and with a college. But I felt that the darkness God had assigned me for that season was back in Africa. Now my daughter is back at Oklahoma State going to school, and I have an opportunity to come back and forth in the U.S. If the Lord wants me to live here, he can make that possible. But for the moment, our darkness is out in Africa. And you, as part of this workshop, can come and help us with the task in Africa. To help us bring the light of Christ into the darkness assigned to each of us. Now, different ones of you may have different darknesses assigned to you. Think of where you live. Think of where you work. There are people in that place who are lost, who don't know the Lord, who only you can see. No one else might see them. And Christ wants you to bring his light to those people. Christ wants you to participate in bringing his light to the people in Africa. Now, as you go out of the communities in Africa, people are living basically along three lines. When you go beyond the student ministry, people in the community are struggling in the area of finances. Lack of finances, unemployment, or plenty of finances, don't know what to do with it. In their businesses, they are struggling. They need help. People are struggling with their marriages. Premarital counseling is needed. There are marriages that are struggling. Stable marriages are few and far between. People need help in their marriages, need help in their families, raising children and developing lasting relationships within their families. Now, we have found in Kenya that if you approach a person in the community along any of these three lines, you have an entry point into their life. Because everyone needs help in one of these areas. Now, approach a young man or young lady who was raised by the Navigators in college, who had a great vision leaving college, but they go to the community and they are swallowed up by the community and they are not able to minister effectively. And you begin to analyze what's going on. Three areas is not going right. And as you begin to help them in those areas, you free them up to continue to minister fulfill the vision God has exposed them to. But then you also go to other people who have had no discipleship background and they are struggling in one of these areas. They can't go very far. It's like driving a car with a punctured wheel, punctured tire. You can't go very far. You might have a brand new car, but you can't go anywhere till you fix that tire. And that's what's going on. And so the approach I'm going to be giving this morning is to give you a chance to come and participate in these areas. What's the solution? The gospel is the solution. The gospel is always the solution. Discipleship, maturity, and spiritual reproduction. In John chapter 13 and verse 17, scripture says, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. In Africa, there are many people that come to church. But we found that about 30 or 40% of those who come to church do not know the Lord. But because the scripture is familiar, they have heard it many times. They think they know the Lord. It is not the hearer of the gospel who is privileged or blessed. It is the doer. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. In John 11, 27, 28, Christ was teaching and preaching, and a woman in the congregation was so blessed, she shouted at us, is the womb that bore the breast at which you nursed. She thought, what a privilege, the mother of this young man, and to be the mother of this young man. That's how she saw life. Christ said, no, blessed rather are those who hear the word and observe it. The two must go hand in hand. The solution is not just the gospel, but it is the gospel, it is discipleship in the gospel, it is bringing our people to maturity, it is spiritual reproduction. That whole package is how we view the gospel. And so Navigator men like you can come down and add value to what's going on down there. Just 1 week, 168 hours, will work you hard, very hard. But you can come and add value to what's going on in there in helping bring discipleship, maturity, and spiritual reproduction. It's hard work. My personal verse that really is 128 and 29 in the RSV. Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man mature in Christ. For this I strive, or I struggle, I labor with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me. So there's hard work involved, a lot of hard work. But we are working hard to mature in Christ. And so as I go on to the next set of slides that give you the opportunities, just be thinking about that. Be thinking of, how can I be involved? What can I do? 1 week, you could come for longer, but come for a week. This is Navigators Kenya office. That's me back there teaching. In teaching on family discipleship, the approach that we have taken is to bring in couples with young children and teach them biblical principles of parenting. We do this, one session lasts 2 hours, and the full course is 12 sessions. So people come in on a Saturday morning, at 7 o'clock in the morning. Some of them take the bus, some of them drive. For them to be there at 7, they have to leave their home sometimes before 6 o'clock. And they get there and they sit in a room like this, and I would teach for an hour. And then I would have given them homework ahead of time. They would have done their homework, which involves Bible study on the subject, which involves a discussion project. And then at the end of that 1 hour, we'd sit and discuss what we have learned. And people would ask questions about their children. And about the third session in this whole training, people realize that it is impossible to raise a godly generation if you are walking with God. The workshop that we give to them gives them skills, hands-on skills, very practical. But they realize you cannot do it unless you love the Lord, unless you walk with the Lord. That, you know, if you instruct your child but are not a good example, the child will do what they see, not what they hear. And these workshops work three ways. One, it gets people deep in the scripture to begin to think about their children. Two, it helps them to raise their children using biblical principles. But thirdly, it makes them realize how much they as parents need God. I've had non-believers come to these workshops. I've had people from Catholic background come. I've had a Muslim come to this workshop. I've had a Hindu come. And they are looking for truth. And we don't edit God's word. We give it as it is. You know, it is not uncommon in Africa, I don't know about the U.S., it is not uncommon for people to not, people want to be not, to be unoffensive when they are giving the word of God. They want to edit it. They want to paraphrase it in such a way that the audience finds it acceptable. That's not how it was meant to be. The word of God will be a stench to those who are perishing. If I brought a carcass into this room, we'd leave the room, wouldn't we? But a pathologist might walk at it. I wonder what killed this animal. The pathologist is drawn to the carcass. The rest of us go away. When we perfume the carcass and keep it in the room, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. The gospel of Christ must be preached as it is. And when we take the family discipleship seminar, we draw people to Christ. And many have come to me and said, you said in that seminar that to be an effective parent, you need to be a godly person. Can you help me to be a godly person? And doors open up and you begin a discipleship ministry. You start off by meeting a felt need. But we know the whole time that it is not just the skills that will help. It is the parents' walk with God that's going to make the difference. If the parent can disciple his own children, then you're raising a new generation. I was having breakfast this morning with some man. And Sam was sharing with me what a delight for him it is to be a father. And he said that the things that he's doing with his son, he does them instinctively. Why? Because he was raised deliberately using biblical principles. And now we have a second generation for an American young man raising a family. He has a memory of what it means to be raised in these principles. So as we do this ministry in Africa, we are helping people first at the parent level, but the real results of this ministry will be seen 20 years from now when the children raised in those families become parents. It's going to be a slow process, sure process. You can be part of this. A typical class in Kenya at the Navigator office will have about 40 or 50 people. This year we had a class of 82. We had to put outside to be able to hold this class. And people come on Saturday morning wearing blue jeans. You have no idea who's in that classroom. And right here is a member of parliament. I didn't even know it till I saw his Bible. I thought, Honorable so-and-so. So I spoke to him. He said, yeah, he's a member of parliament. They too have children. They too need the gospel. We don't advertise our seminars. It goes by word of mouth and it's growing week after week. Schools call upon us and they say, we are having some discipline problems. Could you come and speak to parents? Now, when we go in there, we say, guys, you know, we'll talk to you for 45 minutes, but we really strongly recommend that you come to the 12-week workshop. And this particular school, the Kavina School in Kenya, is a Christian school, expensive school. Tuition is more than $3,000 a semester, and there is 4 semesters in a year for grade 1 to grade 8. And we have parents who come here from different backgrounds, some of them from Hindu backgrounds, some of them from Sikh backgrounds, some of them, you know, don't believe in anything. But they want their children to be schooled in a Christian school. And when the school administration calls me to minister to them, they say to me, look, these people are not believers, but don't spare them. Preach the word of God. Because they brought their children to a Christian school. So I have opportunities in those kind of environments to teach in a school setting. High school settings. This was taken a few years ago when my daughter was in high school. And my daughter was interacting with friends and girls at that age, boyfriends and all of that. And were influencing our daughter a particular way. And she was doing really fine. When she go back to school, she'd be surrounded by these girls who had different convictions. And so we asked the girls and asked their parents, could you have your girls home for a weekend? And so we sought to influence her friends for Christ. And the school called us later and said, what did you do? Because the kind of friends media hangs around with, they think differently. We have a thriving ministry, not just me. My team has a thriving ministry in various high schools around Nairobi. And if you came to Nairobi, we'll give you a chance to go minister in some high schools, share the gospel. You know, you can go door to door in the dorms at the university, just knock the door, introduce yourself, and share the gospel. The harvest is plentiful. People have heard the word, but they are needing someone taking the extra step to make the decision. If you share the gospel in about 10 different rooms, you might lead a person to Christ. And if you don't lead them to Christ, they'll be more than willing to come to an investigative Bible study, which you can start and will carry it on when you leave. These are businessmen, young couples that came to us by way of the marriage seminar, a child raising seminar. This is Willie and his wife Jennifer. They came to us and they said to us, you kept saying that to be an effective parent, you need to be a godly person. Can you help us? So my wife met with Willie and Jennifer for 2 years in weekly discipleship. And now Willie is leading a small group at his church. And they are raising 2 children and also helping with the family discipleship. Opportunities abound. This here is some more mature businessmen. And David right here was ministering to those businessmen. And he called us and said, Stan, can you come and help us? And they were needing help with their children. And my wife and I met with them for 9 months. We met with them twice a month for 9 months, just slowly going through what does the Bible say about this. This gentleman here is the CEO of the Housing Finance Company of Kenya. But he has children. They need help. So you can influence the business community using those 3 entry points I mentioned, the finances, marriage, and children. And at the university, you can just go knock on doors and lead people to Christ. Churches will call upon us to teach, to preach, and to work alongside them in the whole area of raising godly families. So when you come over to Africa, we'll expose you to all these opportunities. And have you participate in them? Have you a small group or give a seminar? This is groups of churches coming together. And they are struggling and they're saying, you know, we have small groups in our churches, but the results we are getting is not what we expected. You know, people show up, but we've gone around to find out what they are learning, and we are disappointed. You know what the problem is? They have not taken time to raise the leaders. When you have a church with 50 small groups and leaders just volunteer or they are appointed, you can get 50 leaders, but you have no clue what the leaders know. You have no clue what they're going to teach. And so when you come and help us with the ministry, we want to go a little deeper with these leaders and help them to walk with the Lord. A couple hundred people from different churches asking, can you help us in leading small groups? Now, when you do, the approach in Africa is to disciple by seminars. It doesn't work. At best, you get some nice-sounding phrases, But the people that come to those seminars who have not been discipled ahead of time, they don't know what they're talking about. They can share the hand illustration, but practice none of the things in the hand illustration. They can share the wheel, they can draw a perfect wheel, but they practice none of the disciplines of the wheel. And so you have people passing on than being discipled. And at first, when we be called to the end of seminars, I didn't want to go. Then I realized we have to go and cast a vision and take on a few and get help to raise them, expose you to these opportunities. There are times when a church, like the Regius Baptist Church, will call upon us. And the senior pastor, Pastor Wanje, and their discipleship pastor, Pastor Fred, they say to us, look, you know, we need help. Can you come and tell us what to do? And when the senior pastor invites you, the doors are open. And so I went into that church and I said to the senior pastor, I'm willing to come weekly. Give me some people who are not too busy. People who can do their homework. People who afterwards can be involved in leading others to Christ. In discipling others. And he gave me this group of, and I met with them week after week for 3 months. Then I asked the senior pastor, could you come and evaluate and see if you like, you know, what's going on? And he came and said, I like it. And I said to him, we'll do another 3 months. At the end of 6 months, I said to the senior pastor, these men and women are walking with Christ. They are having their quiet time. They are journaling their quiet time. They are memorizing verses. They are reading through the Bible. They know on the wheel and the disciplines of the wheel. They can begin to teach others, but I'm committed to meeting with them for another year or year and a half. He couldn't believe it. And I drove there week after week after week just meeting with them. But they in turn began to disciple others within the church. And to be able to do this at no cost to the church, because some of you are backing up our ministry with financial support. So it allows us to go places we could never go. It allows us to respond to churches that can't afford to pay for us to go. But you respond not because they can pay or can't pay. You respond because the need for the gospel is there. And so we went in there. This church has planted two other churches using men and women who have been discipled in this little group. And this young man, Ian, has come on Navigator staff and is on staff training. He's been in Tanzania for 6 months on some training and is back in Nairobi. And when you linger long enough with a church raising disciples, you will get some fruit. When you come to Africa, we'll give you opportunities to participate in this kind of ministry for a week, 2 weeks, or just to sit with a group of men, and maybe sometimes you have a mixed group in the church, and just open the scriptures and study the Word of God. That is so much needed. You know, in this country, the Baptist Church and some of the other conservative churches are known for their going deep in the Word of God. In Africa, sometimes the names of churches don't mean a thing. You could drive by and see Nairobi Pentecostal Church or see the Nairobi West Presbyterian Church. Those names don't mean the same thing they mean here. Some of our biggest fruit in Kenya is in the Pentecostal churches. They are asking, come and help us. People are coming to Christ and we don't know what to do with them. So when you come over, just cross the denomination barrier and minister as God gives you opportunity. We have people crossing from one denomination to another. We work with 23 churches in Nairobi, you know, in 5 different denominations. And there is no issue because they are all united around the Word of God. So when they see short-term missionaries coming in, having spent their money, having prepared themselves to come in to minister, it really encourages them that you didn't have to do it, but you chose to do it and to spend time with them building depth. I mentioned earlier that I'm part of a bigger team, and this is a team that I minister with around the continent. Back there is Mutwa Mahiaini, the overall director for the Navigators in Africa. I'm on part of his team working with churches in Africa. And so it's impossible to do this kind of work alone. So I have a team for Africa work, and I have a team for the Kenya work. Now, while doing that with the churches, we have to come back home to the navigators and pour our lives in young men and women. And these young men and women, and this one lady here, they came on staff training. It's a two-year training period where we pour our lives into them. These are the people who will take over the leadership of our work in future. And we have to continue reinvesting in them. You know, if we are not deliberate about that, we're just one generation away from extinction. You saw that in the situation of Moses and Joshua. And when Joshua lived and the elders who lived during his time died, a new generation came up in Judges 2 verse 10, which did not know the Lord, nor what he had done for Israel. The next generation was not deliberately raised. So as we do it in churches, as we do it in families out there, we are working at a ministry. And this right here is Andrew. And Andrew was on staff training with us for 2 years. And now Andrew and Faith are missionaries in Tanzania. This over here is Geoffrey. Geoffrey was on training for 2 years. And last December, he got married to Lillian. And they are working with churches in Nairobi. This over here is Alex. Alex finished staff training. Didn't feel like the Lord was calling him to work with us full time. He went back to his accounting job, but he maintained touch with the ministry. And now this January he's come back and says, you know, I really want to give my whole life to this. And Alex is marrying Monica in April. And back here is Naphtali. And Naphtali got married to Mary just 2 weekends ago. And Naphtali is working in Eldoret in the Rift Valley, working with students. And now they're back in Nairobi for a short time. And this right here is Milton. And Milton is married to Grace. And Milton is out in Kisumu. And Lon will be talking a little bit about his experience in the work in Kisumu, which is by Lake Victoria. This over here is Victor. And Victor is working with university students at the Daystar University. And you'll get a chance to partner with some of these men and this woman, and go out there and see what they are doing and participate in it, hands-on. It will not be a sightseeing trip, although we'll show you some sights. We'll put you to work. And in Reverend Mayon's workshop, he will teach you how to be ready for the mission field. You'll get a chance to just spend time and listen to them and just pray with them. Sometimes all someone needs is some encouragement. Acts 18 situation, when Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos preaching and teaching, and the scripture describes Apollos as eloquent, as learned, as mighty in the word of God, but they heard him preach. He needs to expand his knowledge. He's only familiar with the gospel up to the baptism of John, and I had spent some time with him and opened the word to him. And he just took it on and swallowed it and kept moving on, preaching the word of God more effectively. So there'll be times that you'll spend some time with someone in prayer or in just teaching the word and adding a little value to their life. If you come around September, we'll give you a chance to minister at Scott Theological College. This college has students, a four-year college. It has students from different parts of Africa. And these students come in for training. And the college asks us year after year to come in for a week to minister to the students, to teach them a course on discipleship. And a couple of years ago, I asked the college, what would really be nice if we had a long-term relationship where we were discipling your students so that when they graduate as pastors, they will also have the vision of discipleship. At the end of last year, the college administration wrote to me and said, we are ready. Can you send some men, can you send some women to us who can walk with our students long term? And so when you come there, we'll give you that opportunity to spend time with theological students. And some of these students will, you know, when they graduate, they'll influence people that you and I can never tell. They'll go places we don't know about. the darkness God has assigned to them is very different from our darkness. But we can influence them in such a way that they can bring the light of Christ and raise people to maturity in those places. You know, there are people from Malawi, people from Botswana, people from Zambia coming to this college here. And so you can actually reach a significant part of Africa just by pouring your life in students in this particular college. But then we have ministry also in very low-income parts of the city. Low-income, high-density. And when you drive around the Dandora area, it's not very nice to drive around because the city dumps its trash over there. So it smells. But the people are warm. And I've preached in this church several times. And when it rains, you have to stop preaching. Because, you know, the roof and the sides are tin. And, you know, it's so noisy you can't hear yourself preaching. But the people are warm and they love Billy. Billy is an associate pastor of that. And I've met with Billy for many years. And Billy and Lily continue to minister in that particular church. But also have a heart for Asian ministry. Billy to India. And more recently, he got a graduate degree in a field of theology in Kenya. And so by meeting with Billy, I'm able to influence people that I couldn't reach. And here is Billy with some of the men and women in his church. And I invite them to our house from time to time to share with them, to minister to them. And one of those days, they brought us a gift. And I thought, a gift for us? And there's generosity in the midst of poverty. These guys haven't got much money, but their hearts are warm. And when the poor hear the gospel, it changes their way of thinking. And Billy and his wife Lily have a ministry of about 40 or 50 young people. But they're able to do that because we poured our lives into Billy and Lily. And when you come there, you'll get to go to Dandora with Billy and Lily and minister to some of the people. And just see how people can be pretty content without having too much. And how the gospel is not hindered by that. You'll also get time to spend, pretty to spend time with couples. This particular couple, Mwita and his wife, Benna, we were best couples in their marriage. And now Mwita is a pastor. And they're raising two children. And one of the things I say to them, I will accept to be your premarital counselor if you'll allow me to work with you for up to a year after your marriage. Because I don't just want to give you counsel before your marriage. I want to work with you for a little bit longer. And then the second condition is that what I pass on to you, I'd like you to pass on to others. And so Mwita and his wife Benna are able to work with two other couples to pass on what we are passing on to them. Because we want to be very deliberate about raising the next generation. It is easy to teach and go away. But if you want someone to pass it on, then you have to spend a little more time with them. And when you come over, we'll give you opportunities to spend time with the different ones and have them pass it on to others. Mike Trinier and his wife, Chris, are visiting. And they come in, they are very busy people, but they'll come in and teach a group and move on. But they are very careful to spend time with the different leaders to find out what is going on in their lives. And so we get refreshed by visits from Mike and Chris, from Reverend Mayon and Eleanor. The Mayons come and stay for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months, and they just keep us refreshed. They keep us refocused. They keep us motivated. Yes, sir. Yes. This is Patience. I'm coming to that. I'm coming. Yeah, this is my wife, Patience. I have another picture that I'll use for that. 2 years ago, Cedric Brown, he's an African-American ministering in the Boston area. He came to Kenya with a gentleman called Aaron Panky. And Cedric had been discipling Aaron for years. And Cedric said to Aaron, let's go to Africa. Let's go see what God is doing there. And the goal of the visit was for us to go down to Zimbabwe and hold a weekend workshop with 16 people that are in the ministry that wanted to begin a church discipleship ministry in their church. And so I came in through Kenya for a few days, and my wife and I had been meeting with the professional women in a church on Wednesday evening. And the women would come in from work, and this particular day I wasn't able to come. And so I said to Cedric and Aaron, come, let's go. Let's go to the Nairobi Pentecostal Church and minister. And we got in there, and it was supposed to be a 5:30 afternoon meeting. By 5:45, everybody was seated. All these women had their Bible study prepared. They had their verses memorized. And I had given Aaron, who is a pastor, I'd given him the lesson, so he'd prepared ahead of time. So he taught that class. At the end of the session, he asked me, Stanley, can you disciple me? I said, why do you ask me to disciple you? He said to me, what I have seen in this church, that's what I like to do in my church. And he said to me, I have received help from Cedric Brown for the last 4 years, but suddenly this whole thing has made sense as I see it in action in a church in Africa. And Cedric had invested his life in Aaron. Aaron didn't need to be discipled again. He thought he did. He already had it, but he had not seen it in practice. Aaron went back to the U.S. and began to meet with 12 of his church leaders over a period of a year. And now those 12 are leading others. He was in Kenya for 5 years, saw a church discipleship ministry in action. And God used that to put all he had learned into perspective. He had been discipled, just didn't know how to take the next step. And now he's discipling men. We didn't know. And when he came there, we thought he was coming to help us. And now the Lord used that to help him to put his church in a different path. Andre Rasamelivona, out in Madagascar. 2001, John and I were in Madagascar teaching the family discipleship seminar. At the end of the seminar, senior pastor came to us. There was about 600 people that came every day. At the end of the seminar, the senior pastor came to us and said, could you teach my men how to... And we said to him, no, we won't do that, because you don't just learn the seminar and begin to be discipled, to have a vibrant walk with the Lord. And in that context, we will take the content of the family discipleship. And as they raise godly children, they will then be qualified to teach others. And the pastor gave us two men. And Andre had been raised here in the U.S. Andre went to school in Arkansas and had a good investment in his life, came to Christ here in the U.S. and was raised here as a disciple of Christ. Went back to Madagascar and found it very hard to minister. He had a master's in genetics, couldn't find a job, and ended up working in a Chinese sweater factory, making sweaters. But he was on radio once a week to preach the gospel. And when he heard us minister in his church, in fact, he was our translator. He speaks French and Malagasy and English. So as John and I would minister, Ondo would translate into Malagasy. And he said to us, can you help me? I really want to do what you're doing. There's been some investment in my life, but I want to go the next step. And John Mayon said, I would raise money to have you trained. And I said to Andre, I will devote time to invest in you. And at a key men's conference here in 2002, some money was raised, over $3,000, that was used to bring Andre and Pastor Nrema to Kenya. And they came over, and for 6 weeks, I spent time with them 4 hours a day for 6 weeks. And I could do that because Andre had had prior discipleship, and I put a tool in his hands. And Andre went back to Madagascar and translated that into Malagasy. Now Andre has a thriving ministry in Madagascar. A year and a half later, he came back to Kenya, and I spent another 6 weeks with him. Again, 4 hours a day for 6 weeks. And there's a darkness in Madagascar that Andre can bring the light of Christ to, which I couldn't see. But spending some time with him God is using that to bless others. And when you come to Africa, there is something God is going to do in your life. And there's something God is going to use you to do in the life of the people you minister to that will enhance the advance of the gospel. Here's Reverend Mann spending time with Abraham Irudayaraj. And Abraham Raj is a teacher. He's a teacher at the, he was teaching an Asian school called Visha Oshwal School. And Abraham was raised Catholic in India. And then he came to Kenya and began to attend church and was led to Christ. And he just loved the Lord. And he kept asking, there's got to be more to it than just going to church every Sunday. And one Sunday, I was invited to his church to minister. And as a minister in his church, he asked me, can you disciple me? And my hands were full. And Abraham said, I'm a busy man, because I'm a teacher, but the school system there allows 3 months of holidays in a year. And during the 3 months, I would spend every day, Monday through Friday, for the entire month with Abraham. And he'd give him homework to do. I'd spend half a day, not a full day. I'd give him homework to do. And he and his wife, Regina, would come with their verses memorized. You know, for some people, once a week is a lot of work. For Abraham. And they're just devouring it. And when you come to Kenya, we'll have you participate in adding Hindus to Christ. Abraham is leading Sikhs to Christ. A darkness I could never see. God assigned that to him, and he's spreading the gospel of Christ, and I can move on to other people. And when we bring you in there, you'll get to participate. We sit around a table, and he invites other Asian families there, and we sing songs of praise in Gujarati, you know, and in Tamil. You know, we have no clue what we are singing. Glad, you know, to worship the Lord in their local language, reaching out to nations. And then they'd ask her to share the word. And Abraham is very deliberate about discipling these men and women, these couples. And the gospel is advancing. You can be. What are some of our challenges? AIDS continues to be a big challenge. You know the story in the Bible of a man who had a wife, and he died. And then his brother married her, and he died. And she was passed on to 7 different brothers. And they were asking the question, whose wife will she be at resurrection? Well, that might sound strange in American culture, but there are cultures in Kenya where wife inheritance is still being practiced today. And so a man dies of AIDS, and his wife is obviously infected. And the brother takes on that wife. And within a few years, all the parents in the extended family are dead, because the brother gets it, the brother's wife gets it, and we have kids, raising kids. That's a problem. In the Kisumu area, especially by Lake Victoria, that's a big problem. Islam is growing. I have here a picture. Does that name mean anything to you? That used to be Mobil. And Libya has purchased all the mobile stations in Kenya. They have bought some big tourist hotels in Kenya. And our government is allowing anybody who has money to invest without caring what kind of strings may be attached to it. The Chinese are investing heavily in Kenya. In fact, in 2006, the President of China and President of Kenya signed a contract to allow the Chinese to explore oil in Kenya. And so the window of opportunity for the gospel is now. We don't know what the future will look like with companies like Libya taking in there. We have an organization in Africa called the Organization of African Unity, the OAU, that speaks the whole of Africa. You know who the current president is? Muammar Gaddafi, since about 2 months ago. And he's been singing the song of let's unite Africa as one country. Now, if you try to unite slices of bread into one loaf, that's easy. But uniting crumbs of bread into a loaf, that's not so easy. Africa is so fragmented that physically speaking and relationally speaking, it's impossible to unite it as one country unless they have something in common. And Islam is throughout Africa. It won't be easy. It won't be hard for Muammar Gaddafi to claim that Africa is one continent united around Islam. And if he says that, all the Muslims from the different communities will agree with him. Last year, you heard about all the trouble we had in Kenya with the government that was sworn in not being legitimate. It was very interesting. The opposition government, the opposition leader had 110 seats in parliament, and the government had less than 80. And when they came to select the speaker for the National Assembly, the candidate for speaker was from the opposition, and he got 109 votes because he couldn't vote for himself. But when they selected the deputy speaker, before they voted, I told my wife, this guy will get more votes than the speaker. She asked me why. I said to her, he's Muslim. So he received all the votes from his party, plus the Muslim votes from the government. The Muslims know how to vote for their own. They cross the political barriers when it comes to voting. If there's a Muslim wanting a position, they don't care about their other background, they'll just vote for him. I can see it coming pretty soon. With Muammar Gaddafi wanting to unite Africa, for the Muslims in different countries crying out, says, yes, let's do it. And the world will think Africa is united. What that will really do is to unite the Muslims in Africa. And when that happens, it will become harder and harder to penetrate the continent with the gospel. So the time is now. When Muammar Gaddafi does that, his goal is to be president of Africa. Libya is too small. The time is not too far. Poverty, increasing poverty, corruption, violence. But we have the assurance in 1 John 4:4 that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. We can overcome because of Christ in us. And as you come there as short-term missionaries, you encourage the weak to continue. You strengthen the strong to continue. And you come back yourself strengthened in the Lord. So what can you do? I'll just mention briefly, and Reverend Mel will talk about this later. You can go. My wife and I are part of this mission for life. And you can join us. Scripture will make disciples of all nations. It will give you opportunity to sign up to go. You can pray. We must all pray. And when you pray for our work on an ongoing basis, you participate in that ministry. Lonnie here prays for me regularly. Dr. McWilliams prays for me regularly. Reverend Mann prays for me daily. And there are some here that I may not know that pray for us. And some Mann supports our ministry and prays for us. Or you can give. You can give to those among you who are coming to minister. A short-term trip will cost you a lot of money, but it will change your life. Or you can give to those who minister there on an ongoing basis. I'll just show you a few slides of different ones teaching. Dan McCallum from Houston, Texas, came on a short-term mission for 1 week, got a chance to teach some pastors in Nairobi. Hal and D. Denny. Hal is probably 78 or 79. And he and his wife, Dee, came over in a marriage retreat, spent 2 weeks, and we gave them opportunity. And they added value to their marriages in Africa. Oh, Dr. McWilliams and Dr. Webb, and they were working with our staff trainees early in the morning, teaching the word. Is age a factor? Not really. In 2007, Jim Downing was down in Kenya. Any of you older than Jim Downing? He's 94 now. He was 92 then. So that's not an excuse. Now, if you came to us, this will be accommodation. We'll take care of you. It'll cost you, but we'll take care of you. and we'll make sure that you are got good transport to run around the city to go where you need to go. We'll come back. You'll have a hot shower. We won't send you out to camping. You'll have a hot shower, and you'll eat some familiar food. And that's the family. Patience and I have been married nearly 24 years. It'll be 24 in May, 4th of May. And God's given us three lovely children. Melinda is a freshman at Oklahoma State. And Michael is a senior in college, a senior in high school. And Michael and Mindy were born here in Oklahoma. And we know, I'm the true Okie from Nairobi. And they are the descendants of the Okie. And so, you know, so being American citizens, we are seeking to give them an American education for college that will open up opportunities for them. And Mindy is hooked up with Lonnie and Bobby, and they're like their foster parents in Oklahoma, and they are part of the Navigator Ministry, and God has just put the pieces together for us, and we're just very grateful. I was up in Oklahoma a couple of days ago to visit her, see where she is, and I was just very pleased what God is. And the child of our old age, Christy, she's 11 years old and full of questions and finding her way in her walk with the Lord, and we're just very proud to have this family. Are there any questions? Yes, sir. Liberia, how is it? I haven't personally been there, but we do have people in Liberia asking us to participate, to send to them some materials for church discipleship. The SIM mission, it's changed names from time to time. It used to be the Sudan Interior Mission, but they're doing some ministry in Liberia, and there are opportunities there, but I haven't been there personally.
Stanley, the political unrest you mentioned occurred right after Tim Williams was there. Was there any connection, perhaps?
Well, he'll have to come back and sort it out, right? Yeah. Let me give the next few minutes opportunities to different ones, just to give a brief word of testimony of their time in Kenya, and then I'll take on some more questions. Dr. McWilliams, you want to share a few words?
Sure. Team of us went in 07, cost us 10 days, and we spent a week with Stanley. And I tell you, there are three reasons I'd like to give you why you should do what Stanley suggested. One is that the year of preparation, or 6 months of preparation in going, will bump up your spiritual life because of the preparation required. It'll challenge you in your quiet time, evangelism, discipling. Your biblical skills, all will be bumped up. Number two, it grew our team members. Everybody on our team grew spiritually by leaps and bounds in preparation and going. And then it gelled our team. It really helped our ministry. Number three, it grew me personally in ways that, I could not anticipate. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to, controlled, and guided by the Spirit, and then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh. And as we get older, guys, we have more control of what happens in our life, and therefore we make more wrong choices. But by going on a mission trip like this, God puts us in a pressure cooker, and He changes us in ways that we would not necessarily invite, and yet in ways that we desperately need. Now, there are four reasons why you should not go to the mission field with Stanley for short term or any other time. Number one is if you are not willing to do the work. If you're not willing to prepare, if you're not willing to improve your skills, don't go. They don't need that kind of help. Number two, if you're not living the life, please don't mess things up and go over. Don't go. If you're not living the life, let's live the life. Number three, don't go if you have a lot of people asking you to speak to small, medium, and large groups of people desperate to hear the Word of God. If you have people calling you and asking you to talk and speak and come and preach the Word all the time, just stay here and do that. But I dare say most of us don't have those kind of phone calls. Number four, if you don't want to be significantly or radically changed, you really shouldn't go. It is a risk. You will be changed. And I've been several times, and every time God has worked a miracle in my life, and we had a blast. We really had a great time, and we're looking forward to going again. And we appreciate the privilege to jump on a bandwagon that's seeing God do these sorts of things, and we get to jump on and ride the crest of the wave. Ah, nobody else is asking me to ride their crest. This is a great opportunity, and we love Stanley.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. Lonnie?
Well, I went over with the team in 07 also, and it was a great experience for us. I'll never forget what John Mann told us the first time he met with us in preparing us. He said, "I don't have faith in you guys whatsoever, not one bit." He said, "But I do have faith in the Word of God. So you are going to memorize a lot of Scripture, and you are going to get ready." And really, over there was a chance to see, it really came clear what the Word of God, the power in the Word of God, and all that Scripture memorization for years and discipline in the Christian life, because I was just quickly thrown into several speaking engagements where they'd say, "Well, we've got a class on business, and you're a businessman, so we want you to talk on being a Christian in business." And you know, just different situations where we get to speak to high school students. A lot of the things we were prepared for, we went prepared to teach certain things, but then certain things they just kind of threw on me. And so it was great to see how God's Word came through, and people's lives were changed, and as Chip said, our lives were changed. So it was a great experience. I would encourage any of you to go. It will change your life. Gives you a whole fresh attitude about how good we've got it over here, and how much God has blessed us, and you know, how we ought to be responsible with it.
We'll take on a few more questions before I invite Reverend Mann to come and have a, and then pastors on. And please take some time and fill in your evaluation sheets and leave them behind for the conference administration to be able to get your feedback. But are there any other questions? We'll take a couple more questions, and then I'll have Reverend Mann come up here.
What does it cost, you think, to do a 10-day trip?
Okay. Reverend Mann has computed all the figures.
Oh.
Yeah, and he'll give that to us.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's worked all that through. Okay.
On that note, my wife and I support Gene Hodges' ministry out of Oklahoma City. They have a wonderful missionary up in Africa, and they got the same vision that you have, multi-generational Christians. One thing I'm really impressed about is how they reach out and help Christian families and meet their needs. They would adopt or take a child in and raise that child under a Christian environment. One of the things I'm constantly being approached to by Jimmy, he wants to know whenever I want to go over, and I keep putting him off. Because I keep telling him, how much is it going to send me to go over there? Or looking at what, $7,000 to get me over there for what, 1 week? So I said, how much would $7,000 then go if you just invested that in the nationals there, and he said they would go for years. I said, get the money over there and give it to the right people as opposed to sending me over there.
Yeah. And that's another way of doing it. Yeah. Definitely supporting the local missionary will go a very long way. Okay, Reverend Mann, you want to give some closing comments? I'm going to put my email address up there, but we'll also give you a chance to sign up on a sheet to receive emails from us and prayer requests.
Thank you, Doctor. There will be Saturday at 1:15 in this room an organizational and informational meeting for the teams who are going to Kenya this summer, July, August, and September. And if you are interested in going or interested in finding out more, I would encourage you to come to that meeting. The team leaders are required to be there. So Dr. McWilliams, Rick Smith, Richard Price, Dan McWilliams, these men will all be here. But if you are interested and you're thinking, maybe I've got a Bible study, a group of six guys I would like to that are here, and you think, man, this would be a great opportunity for us, you'll get all the details, the cost, the preparation, the workbook that you need to do that. One thing I'm going to ask, Lonnie, if I could, recruit you, could you give one of these to everybody? And Dr. McWilliams, I would not dare ask you to be my gopher. So, if you would give one of those to everybody. So 3 John 8 says, therefore we ought to support such men that we might be fellow workers with them in the truth. And as Dr. McCallway has shared this information, I think a lot of us might have thought, you know, I wish when I was in the university, I had known what I know now. And when that navigator staff rep at University of Iowa or Texas A&M or OU or OSU or Midwestern or wherever you were said, how would you guys like to go this summer to Kenya? You would have thought, man, that would have been the time to do it, wouldn't it? Single and, but you didn't, did you? And then you think, well, I wish when I had graduated from college, a navigator rep at Baylor University came to my brother Rob and said, how would you like to go to Japan for a year or two? You're a single man, haven't started your career yet. You could be a short-term missionary in Japan. What an opportunity, wouldn't it? And so he took that opportunity. Well, that opportunity has passed a lot of us by now, hasn't it? We're married, we have children, we have grandchildren. We couldn't do that. The navigator representative of the University of Texas came to my son, Sam. It was his junior year. He said, you're about to graduate. You're going to go in ROTC. You're going to go in the military. Why don't you go to South Africa for 3 months? So Sam and his bud, his Bible study, signed up. And off they went. It's great to be a college student and have that kind of freedom. Now, some of you men really could take a 1 week, 10-day mission trip to Nairobi this summer. You really could do that. But realistically, some of you can't, can you? And so you're sitting here thinking, you know, the mission opportunity has passed me by. That's kind of the Protestant saint, isn't it? The missionary. That's our bishop. That's kind of our cardinal, isn't it? That's about as far as it goes, doesn't it? And then to Africa, that's it, isn't it? Being able, somebody says, oh, yes, and so-and-so, he was a missionary to darkest Africa. Well, that's it, right? That's it. He's achieved. You know, but you know, men, that life, that ministry has not passed you by. Because 3 John 8 says, therefore, we ought to support such men that we might be fellow workers with them in the truth. And I want to encourage you this morning to encourage to consider adding an international element to your spiritual riches portfolio. Jesus Christ said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rusts destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, when thieves cannot break in and steal. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the economy. I don't know what's going to happen with politics. I don't know what's going to happen with wars and rumors of war, other than that they're going to increase and then Christ is going to come back. But I do know that anything we put in our spiritual account in heaven will be there waiting for us, won't it? It will be there. And so let me encourage you. I'm not on Navigator staff, so I don't have any stake in this other than an abiding love and respect for Dr. McCallway. There are two African national leaders that I give to, and I give to them for three reasons. They have a commitment to the vision which is shared at this Key Men's Conference. Disciple-making, equipping, establishing, and sending men. Secondly, they are hard workers. Dr. McCauley is always being criticized by pastors in Africa that he works so hard. And when they tell him he works too hard, I tell him to tell them what I tell people when they say I work too hard. People say, John, you work too hard. And I say, well, thank you. Thank you. Hard work is a Christian virtue, isn't it? Isn't that right? So I tell Dr. McCauley, when they tell you work too hard, I say, well, thank you. Thank you. I don't really deserve that compliment, but I appreciate it. And the third thing is he's honest. He has probably one of the highest standards of personal integrity and honesty and purity of any minister I know. And so I want to invest in a man like that. That's a good investment, isn't it? Has the vision, works like a dog, is pure and honest. You know, those guys aren't falling out of trees, are they? So every month, we sit down and we invest in our spiritual eternal portfolio in Dr. McCauley's ministry, and that's going to pay off dividends. So someday you will die, and when you enter heaven and God says, Jesus Christ says, enter in to the rest, my good and faithful servant, and here is your crown for the great student revival in the University of Nairobi. And here are your jewels for the equipping of churches throughout Mombasa and southern Kenya. And here is a special addition on your heavenly mansion, and the angels added that addition for your part in providing Bibles and Bible reference works and Bible study aids to pastors throughout the Maasai tribal system. And you say, Lord, when did I do that? And the Lord will say, you know, every month when you filled out that check and you sent it to the Kenya Navigators, you became fellow workers with those men. And that went to your account in heaven. And I've been keeping it for you. And now it's here for you. Now, we can do that, can't we, guys? We can't all go to Kenya. We can't all learn Swahili. You know? We just can't do that. It's health, it's responsibilities, it's gifts and callings in that. But we can all be a part of that for eternity. So I've presented you that. I made this up myself. I'm not on Navigator staff, so I don't have their official Navigator thing. But I do have a nice laser printer, and you just tear off the top of that and fill it in, and you can mail it in when you get home. Usually at these men's conferences, they'll have an offering project. You can fill out your check and stick it into the offering project. Okay? Let me encourage you to do that. Why did God have you here this morning? Why did he have you here? Lord, we thank you for this time together. Bless these men. Open their eyes to the fact that from now to the moment they enter eternity, they may begin accruing riches in heaven through praying for and supporting this ministry. Lord, let us not be found wanting when that hour comes. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. Dr. McCauley, I'll turn this back over to you.
Thank you for your participation.